This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
That's Drew Carter. The boys are here. Chester Fuller, of course, after a big birthday celebration yesterday. Captain Ron is back. Robert is back. And I saw Otto earlier today staggering in to the Christmas decoration room. So we are all good to go. What's up there, Mr. Carter?
Thanks for having me back, Pack. This sleep schedule is killing me, man. I don't know if I can do this. Once a week at like 5:30 a.m. wake up call. I don't know how you do it.
Doesn't work for you?
No, it's just.
But look at the good news. Yeah. Here's the good news. At 10 a.m., you're done.
I'm out.
You're tap out.
I'm on a Delta flight back to BDL, baby.
You got the whole. If you want to hang out here, it's going to be in the upper 80s today in the Queen City.
Oh,
you can chill out.
I have
to get up to Northeast and freeze.
No, I don't want that. Dude, I walked out of the airport yesterday, and I felt like I was in Turks and Caicos.
Oh,
it was so nice.
We may have rocking chairs at the Charlotte airport, but trust me, this is no Turks and Caicos around here in Mecklenburg County.
Yeah.
No.
Uptown Charlotte, though, it's similar to Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, big
so,
time.
Are rocking chairs, is that the thing at the airport? Because I see all those signs everywhere.
That's our thing. You know why?
Why?
Because your American Airlines flight is going to be delayed by at least 3 or 4 hours, so we want to make sure that you're completely comfortable at the hub here in the Queen City. That's how it works.
Right, sway back and forth.
Hey, you know what? Baggage takes like an hour and a half here. Well, it's like an hour longer here than anywhere else in the world. Just grab your rocking chair. We'll get your bags there. Terminal 3. Carousel 4.
Oh, sir, if you're going to be in that rocking chair for more than 5 minutes, sir, we're going to have to ask you to move. But hey, at least you have the atrium.
Which is nice, right?
It's so overrated, Pac. I'd say the atrium is as overrated as George Clooney.
Oh, don't get me started with George Clooney. That's a whole separate inside joke. All right, we got stuff to do. All right. Jordan Addison's story is going to be a major conversation today on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Right, major conversation. The women's lacrosse tournament out of sight. We got number one against number two in the country coming down the strike. That's next week in Chapel Hill, which will be great. All right. We'll talk to Taylor Marino later in the show. We got the NFL draft we're going to get into. We're just going to do a little bit of everything today on the show. Again, 844-SAY-ACCM. We'll get you up to speed on baseball, softball, all the other cool stuff that's going on in the league. But before we do, we had a big celebration here yesterday. You were able to roll into town to see it. Our boy Fuller, brother Fuller, who's disappointed Wes in here because he likes to lean up against him. You get the treatment now for the next 3 hours.
I know. I'm excited.
But brother Fuller yesterday celebrated a big birthday. And so big man turned 08, 8 years old for Fuller yesterday.
Happy birthday, Fuller. Came in yesterday and he was in a great mood. He got some whipped cream.
Oh, yeah. Double dose.
Night, which... I'll be thanking you for in about an hour. About an hour here. Get some Febreze, maybe some ventilation in here.
Yeah, between that and the sulfur biscuits that Captain Ron brings in there, you'll be good to go. Here he is yesterday. He and Chester with the photo bomb in the back, of course.
Chester's got to be involved.
Of course.
Yeah, he can't let Fuller have his day.
There's Fuller, who doesn't really like his picture taken a whole lot. He's got the one fin up, one fin down. That's how it normally rolls.
Right.
But he had a big day yesterday. So, Emerson, who's our youngest, really takes a loving to Fuller. You know, our oldest Gigi's got Piper Girl, but Emmy loves Fuller. That's kind of the connection here. So Fuller had a big birthday yesterday, so that was enjoyed by all.
Yeah. Now, you're right. He doesn't really like the paparazzi.
No.
I like taking photos of him when I get here to kind of, you know, alert the masses. Hey, I'm here. We got the show tomorrow. But yesterday, Fuller was pretty photogenic. He smiled at me, looked right at the camera. I think he's getting used to this TV thing. There you go.
Yeah, there it
Check
is.
It out. He's hanging onto that tennis ball.
That's his love and joy right there.
That's ball security right there.
It's his ball, and it's nobody else. Nobody else gets it.
That's high and tight.
So he got some serious fetch action yesterday. It was a big day. He had treats. He had the whipped cream. He had the ball fetching. You were able to hang out. Yeah. Captain Ron being back. He was excited this morning with the sulfur biscuit. So Fuller had a big weekend.
And Mrs. P was telling me that for his birthday, she's getting him a new $5,000 leg.
Oh, he's already got one.
Yeah, another one for him.
He is a rescue dog, right? Yeah. And so we got him for $25 when he blew out his knee looking for the squirrel. That cost me $5,000. So he's a $25 dog with a $5,000 leg. But he is a sweetheart, man. He loves everybody.
He is. And I'm going to take some of his hair with me back to Hartford.
Believe me, it's shedding season.
Oh yeah. I had some white shoes on yesterday.
Forget it.
They're not white anymore.
No, you can forget that. By the way, speaking of your dog,
Oh, yeah.
Can we? Because you had the corgi socks on last week, which people were talking about.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, next time Drew's back, man, we got to get – there he is.
There's the little man. That's Thor. He's a corgi. He's about 2 years old. He'll have a birthday this summer. There's me and Thor. You see, our house is a little messy because my parents are moving from Minnesota to Cape Cod. There we are. Yeah.
Thor.
That's
such,
Thor.
Such a perfect
he's,
dog.
He's the god of thunder. We love the Marvel movies in the Carter household, and – Thor, you know,
is that another cold beer that you just knocked out right there that's completely empty? Is that like your 19th beer?
That's not a Bud Light Live.
As you're cuddling up with Thor?
No, no. That's a LaCroix seltzer water, which my parents both love and I think is essentially poison. You ever drink a LaCroix?
Mrs. P likes it.
Ugh, disgusting. One of the worst drinks you can find. But Thor.
It's so bad, bourbon can't help it. That's when you know. You are drinking something toxic. If bourbon can't help it, food, drink, it doesn't matter, then you know it is not good for you.
If you want to ruin a perfectly good Woodford Reserve pour, put a little LaCroix in
there. That's exactly right. You would never do that. An aficionado would never do that.
Right.
Not to Woodford Reserve. You want to buy the cheap stuff and do it, hey, that's at your risk, but not Woodford Reserve.
But even then, I mean, if you're feeling bad the next morning, it's not the bourbon's fault.
That's right.
It's the LaCroix's
fault. That's exactly right. Yeah.
All right, it was good to see Thor.
Yeah. Little dog love this morning. Big weekend for Fuller, Troy. Thor's sitting there chilling out, enjoying life. Owner will be home shortly, some point in time. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to get into real business, though. NFL draft over the weekend. The Atlantic Coast Conference puts in 21 players. That's a low number, right? I think one of the reasons for it is the talent still in the league.
Right.
Right? And again, you know, congrats to the SEC for the 933rd consecutive year. The SEC puts more players in the draft. It's a great football league. Everybody acknowledges it. Great stuff. But congratulations to the 21 ACC players that were drafted because it is a joy of a lifetime, right? That's why you work so hard. So congratulations to all of them and all the other ones that have signed free agent contracts afterwards. But I do think, Drew, that when you take a snapshot of the league, I'm not surprised the number was low because when you look at the production that is coming back for the 22 season, you kind of realize, man, the conference was really, really young last season.
No doubt. You got a lot of teams with tons of returning production. I look at a team like NC State, which is kind of ironic because the first player from the ACC drafted was from NC State, Nicky Aquanu, maybe the best pick of the first round for the Panthers. But NC State's got more than 80% of its production returning, which is tops in the ACC. But they're not the only one, man. They got a bunch of teams in this league bringing back a ton of production.
9 of the 14 teams in the conference have 70% of their offensive production returning. 9 of 14. That is a bunch. And we've talked about the quarterback play in this league a gazillion times. It was the best conference in the country last year as far as quality quarterbacks. It will be that way again in 22. And when you've got that guy under center and you get the kind of production that you've got coming back with so many teams in the league, I think the ACC is kind of primed for a big year in 22. I really do. And I think when you start looking at some of these preseason polls, the way too early, which I kind of mock and have fun with, all of a sudden you see 3 or 4 teams in the ACC in the top 15. And you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Where's this coming from? Where it's coming from is everybody and their brother is coming back.
Yeah.
I think the league's primed for a big year.
Right. I'm with you. I mean, the quarterback play is on point, and it's not just the returning guys. I mean, Keaton Slovis at Pitt, if he wins that job, we'll see if he has his top receiver and Jordan Addison, but that's a story for another segment. But, yeah, I mean, it obviously starts at the quarterback position, and you've got so many guys with experience. Even Tyler Van Dyke, who wasn't even the starter for his entire freshman year, you look at him coming back, he might be the best quarterback in the league. I think that's a Wes Durham point. I think he likes TVD as his guy, as the top QB in this league.
Well, he's certainly on the short list, for sure. No argument. But here are the offensive production numbers in the conference. And, you know, with the teams that you think are going to be good, when you start seeing a big number beside their name, you're like, hey, you know what? And they've got a quarterback. Watch out. I think the league's going to be really, really good. Now, I think some folks are starting to jump on the concept that I keep harping on, that the Atlantic division may be the most underrated division in college football in 22. When you start talking about Wake Forest as the defender, with everybody coming back on the offensive side, 81%. NC State is going to be loaded, obviously. Hey, you got Devin Leary back throwing the pill all over the place. Clemson's going to be really good. So those three teams, all in the Atlantic division, without question, are top 15 teams. Clemson probably going to be in the top 5 in all likelihood based on some of the preseason polls. You've seen NC State with a single digit beside their name. I saw Wake Forest in one poll ranked 10th in the preseason. My point being, wherever you want to put them, those three teams are legit. And I think the other cluster clubs, Louisville, Florida State, Boston College, are going to be really good. And your beloved Syracuse Orange, who knows what Dino's got coming back.
Well, you see the 88% of the offensive production returning. I think that's just Sean Tucker, actually.
Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right? Could arguably be the best running back in the country returning.
If he could have gone to the draft, I think he would have been selected as well. I mean, even though running backs kind of get pushed down the board nowadays, Sean Tucker will play in the NFL one day. Speaking of my beloved teams, the Vikings drafted an ACC player.
I'm going to get to that.
Running back,
We're going to get to your Vikings.
Two of them, actually. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Pac. That division is going to be a war zone. It's just a matter of who can come out. If anyone can come out completely unscathed, then they're probably going to be in the playoff, right? You'd have to imagine.
Got a chance.
Even Wake Forest, a team, the Swiss, that has not had a ton of recent success in football. If they come out of that division undefeated, they could be going to the playoff.
We will see how that plays out. Now, it's not just the offensive side. Even the defensive side. 8 of the 14 teams in the ACC, 68% of your production are back. Again, this is going to be a quality year coming up in terms of dudes in this league. And these numbers do not lie either.
Yeah, and this goes a long way, too. I mean, it's one thing to recruit a bunch of talented guys, but you need time in the system, and I think even though you have a few new head coaches up there at the top at Duke and Miami, these dudes have played in this league, and they've got legitimate experience. And, I mean, for a team like Duke, too, I think a lot of Duke fans might look at that and say, well, do we want all that returning production back because we weren't so hot last year? I think the answer is yes, because, I mean, time in college is just so much different than time in high school that their fortune should be a little bit different this season.
And the one team I would point out with that list, if we threw it up there real quick again, Clemson's at 50%. I could make the case today that Clemson's defense, I know it's May.
Way too early.
It's way too early. But that defense, in my opinion, has a chance to be as good as Dabo's ever had. And they've had a few teams in his run where you went, yikes. But their defensive front will be the best in college football. I think their linebacker core, even though they lost them all, will be better this year than it was a year ago. So that number is kind of deceiving at 50%, because when you start talking about, hey, if you got to go rank the defenses in the league right now, I'd put Clemson, NC State 1 and 1A.
Absolutely. And Clemson last year, I mean, they won 10 games. You know, what a terrible down season for Clemson. And we know it wasn't because of the offense, right? So the defense is going to be sick next year. They got Xavier Thomas coming back, right?
Yep.
On that D-line.
KJ Henry decided to come back. Everybody, I mean, and here's the other thing. They had, 30 scholarship guys out for the bowl game and still went. They beat an Iowa State team to get to 10 wins. They had so many injuries last year of guys that had to step up and say, hey, man, you got to go play. And now if they get any kind of quarterback consistency, lights out. I mean, they could be out of sight good.
Yeah.
But defensively, I think Clemson's going to be awesome. I really do. I think they're going to be tremendous. By the way, the numbers can lie sometimes, though, but I was having fun with the draft, and people are like, oh, the ACC put in 21. I was like, yeah, that's right. They put in 21 players. That's exactly what the number is. The number is the number, right? Mm-hmm. But then you have schools like Penn State who put more players in from the Big Ten than any other team. They put more than Michigan, more than Ohio State. They put 8 guys in. That was more than anybody else in the Big Ten. The last 2 years, Penn State's been 500. They're 11 and 11. They put 14 guys in the draft the last 2 years. I mean, so, you know, you can spin the numbers however you want to spin them, right? If you put more guys in the pros, I think that's an indicator of how quality your league is. That's why I give a tip of the hat to the SEC with their number, again, out of sight. But then a team like LSU in the SEC, they've put 17 players in the draft the last 2 years. They're 11 and 12. I mean, they're as average as the day is long, not to mention all the NCAA issues that they got to deal with, and that's another separate issue. But the point of it is the numbers, you can spin them however you want, one way or the other. But I do think the guys coming back in this conference, I think bodes well for the 22 college football season for the ACC.
You think there are banners hanging in State College right now? Led the Big Ten and draftees in 2022.
I mean, listen, is it a recruiting tool to say, hey, listen, we put X amount of dudes in there? No question. Yeah. I mean, hey, you use that to your advantage. But at some point in time, I do think you take a step back and you go, well, if we're putting all these guys in the pros, why aren't we winning any games?
Right. And why aren't they coming back? You know, why don't they want to play more football in Happy Valley? Here's one number that does not lie. 0 for the Texas Longhorns.
Hook 'em.
0.
horns down.
How about that?
First time in like 50 years or something, I think.
You know, 262 picks. You got to figure at the University of Texas, you would stumble across one guy that was a four-star or five-star that developed into an NFL player, right? One guy.
That's all we want.
That is scary. I mean, that is really scary. But it is what it is, man. So deal with it. So if you want to go NFL draft today, there were some surprises. We'll get into that. Kind of surprised Sam Howell dropped to the fifth round.
Yep.
Justin Ross getting selected is criminal. Makes zero sense to me. But again, I'm not a general manager. But there were some names that you expected to go much higher. Some didn't even go at all that you're like, man, am I missing something?
It's befuddling. It's like this in every sport, too, where you see guys who just dominated in college and don't even get a look in the pros. It's bizarre.
Don't get it. But, hey, we'll address this, though, later in the program. Again, we have a busy show. There is a lot for us to cover. And if you're a Pitt fan and you're like, all right, boys, what's the story with Jordan Addison? There's still a lot of unknowns. Yeah. Is he in the portal? Is he still back at Pitt? Is he going to SC or somewhere else? We will address all of this. And I've got a solution to try to help college football because I think the sport is at a crossroad. I do. I think we've reached the point in 10 months of name, image, and likeness that there's got to be some action in college football to basically try to save face of what in the world is happening to a sport that we love so much. We'll get into all that. We'll take your phone calls. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. But we've got lacrosse to address, the women's tournament rocking and rolling in South Bend, North Carolina with a scare, BC does their thing, number one, number two, showdown in Chapel Hill. All that's coming up. We got a big baseball weekend. We got 1,000 things to talk about and your phone calls, all that good stuff. Got Drew Carter filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham on a Monday right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Drew Carter filling in for Golfing West Durham. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, Mr. Carter, you're a Syracuse guy. It's part of the Syracuse invasion because Anish Shroff's going to be in here tomorrow. Lacrosse is your thing. It's a Syracuse thing. It's part of the tradition in history, right?
It just means more up there.
Apparently so. So we get the women's tournament, right? We have the top three teams in the country. Number one, North Carolina. Number two, BC. Number three, Syracuse. Syracuse gets knocked off. Sorry, but you're
really?
Right.
I wasn't aware that.
Yeah, Virginia knocks them off. They get the bump. Uh-huh. Right, Julie gets the Packer and Durham bump. She's on the show Friday. Need to W. What happens? Virginia beats Syracuse. It happens. Packer and Durham.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
Just for you. but we're going to eventually now get number one, North Carolina, and number two, BC. For the ACC title. That is on Saturday. They go a whole week. They get a week off. This game will be played in Chapel Hill right here on ACC Network. We'll get to that. But all these great goal scorers, right, in this league. It's such an offensive league. And, again, I know we're going to have Taylor Moreno on, the goalie for North Carolina, does a great job. What jumps out at you? North Carolina Notre Dame yesterday was a fist fight. It's 5-0 Dame. You got North Carolina on the ropes, and here come the heels.
North Carolina has crushed everyone all year. They go into South Bend, and I think technically a neutral site game at Arlotta, and Notre Dame scores the first five. This is an Irish team feeling themselves after a win over Duke in the first round in the 5-4 game. They're at home. All the momentum. Uncle Mo was saluting touchdown Jesus in South Bend. And then, of course, Carolina with Jamie Ortega and company, they come right back. I think 10 of the next 11 or 11 of 12 goals. It was the Tar Heels offense that we've become accustomed to over the last six or so years, and they came all the way back. But this was a barn burner, Pack, and North Carolina doesn't get tested like this. And I heard Rachel DiCecco on the broadcast yesterday saying she thought it was the best thing for them because, you know, they're 17-0 now. This is their closest game of the season. You want to be tested before you head into the big dance. I mean, we saw it last year. Carolina lost to BC in the semifinals after being the one seed. They never lose in the regular season, but to get tested like this is good.
Here's the other thing. They win the game without Jamie Ortega scoring. Her streak of 50 consecutive games scoring at least one goal comes to an end. We'll talk about this later in the worst of the weekend, best of the weekend segments. But to be able to do it without your ultimate score, I think it's another testament to how they have such quality depth. They don't panic. Again, Notre Dame with all the momentum, they're up 5-0, as you pointed out. And North Carolina just goes, okay, deep breath, let's go on a run. And they do. And then they hold on for the win. Yeah. It was a great game.
Great, great game. Ortega did have a couple of assists. She's got a point in 80 consecutive games and 85 of 86 in her career. I mean, what a career it's been, too. But you know, Carolina is a perfect example of why I think the transfer portal can be good for sports. We're going to talk about Jordan Addison later and how it can be bad sometimes and maybe some rules that need to be implemented to help fix it. But Carolina's got a few transfers on this roster who have just supplemented what was already there. And I think you got to give so much credit to Jenny Levy because she's kind of doing in this sport what Steve Forbes did for Wake Forest men's hoops. You got a couple guys who are holdovers from previous years and previous regimes, but they can all blend together with the new faces who sort of carry the team.
This is probably going to be a terrible example, but I would even take it to a Saban-esque deal. You know, you got great players. You've developed them. You've recruited through the right ranks going through the high school. But if you can implement, hey, you know what? I can need help here and make the transfer, and then it all still works to be at the level that they are. I mean, it's really incredible what North Carolina's done.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I'll say this, Pac, I think the ACC Women's Lacrosse Tournament is the perfect tournament. This is how a tournament should unfold. You got a couple early upsets, a couple Cinderella stories, but at the end, you get exactly what you want, which is one versus two, not just in the ACC, but in the country. I think these are the two best teams in the nation. They end up meeting at the end of this. It'll be in Chapel Hill next week for the championship. This is how it should be. I mean, this is how the NCAA men's basketball tournament goes when it's at its best. Upsets early, you got your Cinderella, St. Peter's, but by the time we get to New Orleans for the Final Four, and you and Wes and Kelsey and everyone are wearing their sunglasses down in the Big Easy, it's time for the big boys.
That's exactly right. But the tournament's been cool because you had Pitt win their first tournament game ever, right? New program. Again, you got the debut coming up June 23rd of the inside look at the Pitt lacrosse program.
Yeah.
You had Virginia and Notre Dame, quite frankly, needing to win to still remain eligible for the NCAA tournament because you got to be above 500. Virginia, of course, you know, upset Syracuse, sorry to say it. But at the end of the day, you do have the two best teams. I mean, it's the best deal with them going, and that will be some kind of showdown. They played a great match earlier this year. North Carolina won by one. But, man, it's going to be awesome on Saturday in Chapel Hill.
It's going to be a blast. And, yeah, let's show some love to Boston College. This one wasn't quite as close against Virginia. For the Hoos, great run. I think they probably did enough to punch their ticket to the big dance. We'll see what Dana Boyle has to say about that, her beloved Hoos with a big-time win. But Boston College is just – They're the cream of the crop in the ACC right now, along with North Carolina, and they proved it. And our girl Belle Smith, we interviewed her last time I was on the show. When I checked in the third quarter, she had 8 points.
She had 9 points.
She ended up with nine.
Yeah.
A bunch of assists. I mean, Charlotte North, obviously, again, we say this every time we talk about BC, but Charlotte North gets the headlines, but do not sleep on someone like Belle Smith. To have a hat trick and then double your goal total with assists is ridiculous. And when teams want to take away Charlotte North because she's a transcendent player, this is, again, same kind of thing. Belle Smith, Jen Medjid, all the weapons for BC, they're just like Carolina.
Cassidy Weeks had six goals in the game. And really kind of funny, right? Jamie Ortega does not score. Her streak snaps at 50. North Carolina still finds a way to win. Charlotte North, really, to be honest with you, for her standard, very quiet.
And invisible by her standard.
Right, yeah. Almost non-existent, which, again, it's not meant to get on her case because she's such an awesome player. But, you've got such firepower in that game for an ACC title coming up. And BC now, three of the last 4 years in the ACC final, North Carolina final now, 11 of the last 12 years. The Heels have been the dominant force. BC defending national title. They want to win an ACC championship. They've never won that before. So something's got to give. All that comes up on Saturday right here on ACC Network. So congratulations to number one and number two. There was a men's game yesterday, right? We got a couple of them, actually. Duke, North Carolina always get together and do their thing. Duke goes past in the Heels, takes care of business. But Chris Gray makes history.
I think he's the story of the game. Chris Gray, you know, when Lyle Thompson finished at Albany, I don't think anyone expected that record to be broken. 400 career points. Chris Gray puts up six yesterday in the loss to Duke, and he is now the second member of the 400-point club. Look at that question mark and the answer. I mean, we're going to have Anish Shroff on the show tomorrow. I'd love to hear what he thinks about that goal. But Chris Gray, he does it in so many different ways, and let's be honest, Pac, doesn't get a whole lot of help, which isn't an indictment of the other guys on the Carolina roster. They're just so young. They had the number one recruiting class coming in this year. But for Chris Gray to be kind of a one-man offense in Chapel Hill and still put up the numbers he's put up in his career between BU and Carolina, it's really incredible. And I can't wait to watch him in the PLL on ESPN this summer.
And here's the other thing. You know he's going to touch it, and he still produces. That's when you know you're a star, right? No matter what you do, guess what? I'm going to get mine. Here we go. One other game yesterday, Notre Dame continues to stay red hot. They've won five consecutive. And for Syracuse, I know you don't want to talk about it, but, man, it's been a tough year for the Orange on the men's side.
Really tough. Finishing 4-10, which I don't – that's got to be one of the worst records in program history. One ACC win, you know, bright spot against Duke earlier this year, but – it's two games against Notre Dame this year, Pack, and it's two games where they didn't really show up. And this one was pretty disappointing because you're not playing for anything, but it is senior day. And, you know, I don't want to kill the seniors on this program because I think they're good dudes who really care. Like Brendan Curry, Brett Kennedy, Owen Siebold, those guys really care. But for whatever reason this year, it just never clicked. Not a ton of talent. They're trying to do it without a top 50 recruit on the roster. Owen Hiltz was, but he's out for the year. They've had injuries. It's a program that has had some off-the-field issues the last couple of years. And, man, it's disappointing. Because you played Notre Dame twice, and you've gotten crushed both times. And this was, you're at the Dome. It's senior day. You'd like to see a little more fight and some verve and some vim and vigor from the mighty Orange, but didn't see any of it. But Notre Dame, I mean, really, Notre Dame's a story. From a big-picture perspective, you said it, man. They're smoking hot. And we've been talking about it all year. That record was deceiving for them because they played the toughest schedule in the country. Nobody wants to see the Irish in May.
And they we'll throw the standings up real quick. They've got one more conference game. Can tie Virginia, but the Hoos have already clinched that standpoint. But Notre Dame, like you said, is smoking hot. I don't think anybody wants to see them moving forward. That's the way it's going as we speak. And it is bizarre to see Syracuse down there where they are. And not to pile on here because I know those are your boys. But that is a school that loves its lacrosse, men's and women's. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I think we can go ahead and pile on, Pack, because it's going to sound really good in the documentary about Syracuse lacrosse and the return to glory. You know, we'll give them some sound bites for the 30 for 30.
As soon as they started taking down the word carrier. Right?
I think it's officially, of May 1st, is the JMA Wireless Dome.
Now you got it. Yeah. It's May 2nd, my man. It's go time. It's go time in the Dome.
About 5 years, it'll be the Anish Shroff Dome.
I love it. I talked about coming up Saturday, really a special day for folks that love lacrosse. The number one and number two teams in the country are playing for an ACC title, and we've got it for you. That's Saturday night after the ACC Women's Lacrosse Championship game between one North Carolina, number two BC. The all-ACC team will break it all down for you, man. That's it. Highlights, interviews, players, coaches, all the breakdown you expect from ACC Network. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, immediately after number one North Carolina and number two Boston College. That is Saturday from Chapel Hill. That
Bet the over.
Oh, man, it's got a chance, right? The offensive firepower, crazy. This is the hot topic, though, of America, much less the ACC. Tampering. We're going to discuss it. I'm going to give you a solution. All that coming up next. Right here on Packer and Durham on ACC.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Wes playing golf for a couple more days. Drew's filling in tomorrow on East Shroff, so it's a Syracuse takeover on the program. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right. To me, this is the biggest national topic of the weekend. Jordan Addison, Biletnikoff winner, all worldwide receiver for Pitt. Word gets out that, man, he could be heading to SC. Old Lincoln Riley and the boys out there on the left coast. As yesterday was the deadline to basically say, hey, I'm in or out as far as the transfer portal. As of this second, 7:35 a.m., there's still no official word of whether or not Jordan Addison is in the portal or not in the portal. Right. So let me just preface that ahead of time. There's all kinds of words and rumor and expectation that SC has put this crazy offer, right? Name, image, and likeness. Here we go again. And he could be heading out. Now, he and Caleb Williams from the same town, D.C., maybe there's a relationship there. Again, there's a lot of folks barking about stuff without having any real facts on the table. We will see. I'm sure at some point in time later today, there's got to be at least some kind of word of whether or not Addison's in or out of the portal? We don't know the answer to that yet. But obviously, Pat Narduzzi is livid. He's talked about this before, about tampering, right? All of a sudden, you have to go back to re-recruit your own players. We know about the quarterback situation in Pitt. Obviously, Kenny Pickett, picked by the Pittsburgh Steelers, 20th pick. So you got this whole new quarterback situation. We know Jordan Addison's a big-time player, All-America player. So what are you going to do with this one, Drew? Big picture. What your initial reaction to all of this is what?
It reminds me of a video of Giannis Antetokounmpo a few years ago, NBA draft on TNT. LeBron drafts Anthony Davis. This was right when everyone thought he was going to get traded from the Pelicans to the Lakers, which ended up happening. And Ernie Johnson was like, oh, so you want to be teammates with Anthony Davis, huh? And Giannis goes, isn't that tampering? That's what this sounds like to me. I saw Jordan Addison might be getting a $2, $3 million NIL deal from someone at USC, and we should be clear, because again, I think you're right, Pac. It's important to lay out the facts here and parse stuff before just screaming and saying, hey, this guy is falling, this is ridiculous. USC wouldn't be paying him to come to the university. It would be a booster or someone, but it's not that difficult, right? I mean, these are smart guys. They would figure out how to get him some money to come to USC. Again, not directly from the university, but still. And it sounds like tampering to me. And if I'm Pat Narduzzi, I'm pretty PO'd. And I understand it. And according to Pete Thamel, our guy at ESPN, another Syracuse grad for the record, Pat Narduzzi called Lincoln Riley and maybe some other people on the staff. I don't know. But he is pretty peeved because it sounds like there was some tampering happening. And it would have to be the first time a Biletnikoff winner transfers the next year. It would have to be. We'll get our crack research team on that, but you just can't believe it.
Well, here's how I look at this. If you're in the transfer portal, hey, all bets are off, right? If you're in the transfer portal, guess what? You are now, in this day and age, given the lack of rules, you're allowed to do whatever you want to do. If you're not in the transfer portal, and that's why I pointed out at 7:35 this morning, we don't know the answer to that question. So until you know the answer to that, you can go down a certain path. But if you are not in the transfer portal, this is all nonsense. This is all BS. This is all that's really, we've reached a crossroad in college football, because when name, image, and likeness was unveiled on July the 1st of last year, we can now fast forward the clock basically 10 months. And we are now in a position where this is nothing more than, hey, let's just go buy people.
Yeah.
That is not what the intent of name, image, and likeness ever was supposed to be, right? It's not supposed to be an inducement for somebody to go to school X, Y, or Z. Now, if you decide, hey, I love this school, I love this coach, I want to play for him or her, whatever the case may be, awesome. And on the side, there's an opportunity through local businesses, anything else that's going on, you can make some additional dollars, awesome. I think it's what everybody assumed NIL was going to be. What we're now watching in college football in particular is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the sport. And I think somebody, and I know coaches have barked, whether it be Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Ryan Day, I mean, the biggest names in the sport have talked about how outlandish all this is. That's all fine and good, and all of you guys are right. But it's now time to do something about it before this gets too far down the road. If we got to go another couple years, we had Bubba Cunningham on the show last month, and I asked him about NIL. When can we expect to get some regulation? And he said, Pac, probably 2 to 3 years from now. Joe Castiglione, who I have nothing but respect for, that runs a show at Oklahoma, was on with me a couple of weeks ago, and I brought that up to him, and he said, Pac, you know what? Bubba's got a great handle on all this. He's probably pretty close to being right. If you're telling me we're 2 or 3 years away from any kind of regulation to put up some guardrails, what is this sport going to look like? It's a disaster. And I don't mean to, you know, scare everybody half to death, but I think there's an easy solution to this. And here's what I would do. I would just say, listen, I'm all for player transfers. If you want to get up and leave, go for it. You know what? If you're not happy with a coach, a team, you're not willing to put in the work, for whatever the reason or excuse is, if you need to get up and go, he or she, go. But you know what? You also need to be held accountable for your decision. There needs to be a one-year holdout. That if you decide, hey, just not working out for me at school A, I'm going to school B, cool, go for it. And if there's a multi-million dollar deal waiting for you on the end of the table, awesome. I'm not against that either. But you've got to sit out a year. We need to go back to basics, where the student athlete has all the power and control, which is, I have no problem with. He or she can get up and leave. He or she can go get a great name, image, and likeness deal. But if you decide to leave, it's going to take you a year before you get to School X. And that way, maybe, just maybe, all of this nonsense that's going on with SC, assuming that Jordan Addison has not gone in the portal, you eliminate that crap. And if somebody wants to go ahead and offer you a ton of money, hey, they're going to have to wait a year before they get their hands on it. Maybe that gives at least the coach an ability to put together a roster, and other guys who want to play by the rules by saying, listen, I don't care what it takes. We're going to go buy X, Y, and Z. Hey, but I can't get my hands on them for a year. Maybe that coach goes, I don't have time to wait for a year. Maybe that is just something you can do tomorrow if you're the NCAA and coaches and say, listen, we got to get a handle on this. We do. Because what we're doing right now is comical. I mean, this has turned into a comedy bit. And what's happening with Pitt, I understand how sick you would be if you're a Pitt fan. If you're a Pat Narduzzi, can you imagine? Here's a guy I've recruited. We've developed. The kid's done all the work. We want him to get, we've given him a name, image, and likeness deal. He's got a chance to get a great education. We've won an ACC championship. And now I got to go back and re-recruit this guy? That's not what college sports was supposed to be about. And I'm all for Jordan Addison getting paid and going to play for whoever he wants to. And he made a commitment to Pitt. Now, if he wants to get up and leave for whatever reason, I have no problem with that. But there's got to be some kind of repercussion for your decision. Just the way it works. That's, you want to be an adult, that's how adults live. That's my opinion.
I'm going to push back on that a little because, you know, we talked about this yesterday. You say you want to be an adult, that's how adults live. Well, I mean, most adults, if they want to change where they are, they can. They don't have to wait a year. But I am with you in the sense that...
Those are also employees, aren't they?
Right, but we're kind of... I mean, let's be honest, Pac. That's kind of what these guys are at this point,
no,
right?
No, they're not.
Well, Jordan... But,
no, they're not.
But that's the whole problem, though, right? Is I'm with you that student-athletes should have the power, and I'm also with you that the time that they become actual employees is where college sports are just different. Now, I'm not going to say they're dead. I'm not going to say college sports won't exist anymore, but it will be completely different because these guys basically are employees, and Jordan Addison is basically being offered a raise of, I don't know, 200%, 300% to move to the West Coast. That's what we think, right? We don't know for sure. But I'm with you because, you know, you said the clock has been 10 months since this all happened.
July 1st of 2021, name, image, and likeness became official. Now look where we are 10 months later.
And if the NCAA had the chutzpah to do something about it, they'd take that clock hand and they'd move it back. Just one of the hands, maybe the little hand, let's say, is the one-time transfer rule, and the big hand is NIL. You got to move one of them back because those two things hand in hand is resulting in what we're seeing now. And it's not just Jordan Addison, for the record. I think our producer, Drew Brooks, made a good point. The Isaiah Wong thing is just as, if not more, I guess I'm going to say ridiculous because it's just so unprecedented and it's so antithetical to the idea of college sports. And I'm a young guy, Pac. I'm 24 years old, and I've always been waving the flag for these guys to be able to get paid. But it's not going to be college sports. It might be entertaining, and we're going to sit here and talk about it for a long time, and it's good for us being in the business, but it's not college sports because you said it. I mean, Addison made a commitment to Pittsburgh. Wong made a commitment to Miami, yes, as a transfer, but still, I mean, I don't know, man. It's a convoluted topic.
Here's what I know. You can't just say, hey, you know what? This stinks. I hate it.
Yes.
And 3 years from now, we'll finally get some... No. You got to take some action. I really do think college football is at the crossroad right now, today. This whole Jordan Addison thing to me is a snapshot of, okay, what... We all know this feels right, right? It feels like, technically, if he's in the transfer portal, he can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. Somebody wants to go pay him $3 million, man, go for it. And I'm not hating anybody for it. I'm all for everybody getting paid. But there's got to be some repercussions for your decisions. And that's what's being an adult. Now, I'm going to go to Lincoln Riley a second. I've had a chance to meet him a couple times. Seems like a nice guy to interview, all that great stuff. I know folks in Oklahoma are watching this. They don't want to hear about this because they are sick and tired of how he left them high and dry and down the road to go. Brent Venables now rolls in there and does his thing. So there's already a black hat out there in the left coast, right? He is turning into really college football's new number one villain.
Look at that smile.
Regardless of what happens with Jordan Addison. But here is his comment on name, image, and likeness. Because, again, fully supportive of guys being able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. Fully supportive of that no matter where they're at. But it should not be part of recruiting. Well, boy, that's a bit hypocritical given what we're going through right now, isn't it? I mean, how do you keep a straight face and make that statement? Seriously.
He's smiling. I mean, maybe he thinks it's all a joke. Yeah.
And this is also the same guy, by the way, that had a quarterback when he was at Oklahoma in the name of Chandler Morse, who wanted to transfer from Oklahoma, right? And Lincoln Riley went, no. He wants to transfer within the conference, the TCU. No, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to block that from happening. I mean, come on, man. You got to be consistent in this, especially if you're a coach. I mean, you're the leader of young men with all this, right? And again, I don't know the answer of Jordan Addison in the portal, out of the portal. Because, like I said earlier, if he's in the portal, he can do whatever he wants because the NCAA doesn't have any rules or regulations. But if he is in school at Pitt and not in the portal, this is all tampering. I mean, this is everything that's wrong about college athletics. It's what this is.
Well, I think you said an interesting phrase there because the NCAA doesn't have any rules and regulation. Do they have anything about tampering in the bylaw?
What were they going to do about it anyhow? Even if they did. What are they going to do, investigate you? And then what? In the year 2039?
Yeah.
The
FBI. Gotcha.
Right. I mean, come on. I mean, they're a joke.
Yeah.
The whole investigative process is a joke. But I think it's time for coaches and administrators to say, hey, listen, we've got to do something here. Yeah. We can't keep doing it. You know, Nick Saban and the others say this is unsustainable, right? You can't keep doing this. Now, he's still going to have great success regardless of what the rules are. Right, Dabo Swinney last month got ridiculed by some morons in the media when he says it's chaos right now, tampering galore, adults manipulating young men. Education is the last thing right now. Dabo said that, and there were so many people in the media going, oh, there's Dabo whining again. Dabo Swinney was 1,000,000,000% right, 100%. I mean, it's all over. I mean, we've got to do something to make sure that college football doesn't reach the point where we go, man, I used to love the sport. What happened to it? Well, if you don't have any leadership or vision, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. I don't care what business you have. It could be a radio station. It could be a college football world, whatever the case may be. College football is at the crossroad. And I think this Jordan Addison story, I thought the Isaiah Wong thing that we talked about briefly, where all of a sudden you're negotiating your name, image, line. Hey, I said earlier last week, I'm surprised it took so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the first time we had that story. And he's decided to come back to Miami. Good for him. Good for Jim Larrañaga. But we've got to start putting up some rules and regulations. This just can't be a free-for-all that, hey, there's millions of dollars floating around and who cares who gets what. That's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah. Well, I think you made another good proposal, which is if you're in the portal, you can't go back, right?
Yeah. I here's what I would do. Again, I am pro-NIL and I'm all for it. If you're not comfortable, get up and leave. If you decide to go in the portal, awesome. Go for it. You don't have to give any reason why. You can get up and go. But when you're in it, you can't go back. Yeah. When you make a decision to go, you're gone. And the reason I say that, you got to allow your coach to have the ability to say, listen, I have a roster. If you decide you're not a part of this, down the road you go, wish you the very best. But when you enter the transfer portal, you got to sit out a year. Now, if there's a multi-million-dollar deal waiting for you, great. And if it's still there when you enter the portal, awesome. You've got the ability to make money. You got the ability to get up and move. But you got to start giving coaches at least the ability to put together a roster and know what you have to work with, that you're not wasting all your time having to re-recruit your own guys. That is ridiculous. That's an impossible job. Mm-hmm. When Pat Narduzzi last month was talking about, hey, we're going to lose great coaches in college sports because we're wasting all of our time with the tampering, he's 1,000% right.
We've seen it in basketball a little bit. I'm sure it was a factor for a few of those guys.
No question.
And Pac, the one-time transfer rule without sitting out a year, I think the intent behind it was good. I think the idea is good. And frankly, for the majority of transfers, I don't think they should have to sit out a year. But with a guy like Jordan Addison, if what we're hearing is true with the tampering and getting $2-3 million in NIL to go to USC, then yeah, he should have to sit out a year because that should have repercussions. And it's unfortunate for the, I don't know, 75% of guys who want to transfer for your standard reasons. Like, I don't know, maybe they don't like living where they are. They don't like the coach leaves, which, by the way, I think should be an exception to your rule if the one-year waiver does come back. But it's unfortunate that because of the NCAA's ineptitude, there has to be the reinstatement of that one-year sit-out year.
Well, I'll just leave you with this. When the NCAA data last week, which stunned a lot of people with the transfer stuff, that all sports since August of 19 to July of 21, all sports, 30% of the folks that have entered the transfer portal have found another home or aid to compete. 70% are sitting around going, what happened? If you don't think that you need to come up with some rules and regulations for name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal, you're going to watch college sports turn into something that is no longer college sports. And I don't care if you're 70, 50, or 20 years old. The sport that you grew up with is totally different. And I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. And I'm pro NIL and I'm pro transfer. But you've got to have some rules and regulations. We'll talk more about this. We'll take calls too if you're in the mood on this. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. When we come back, softball. I'm telling you, we're covering every sport known to man. You're going to be good to go. But guess what? We have an ACC regular season champion. Woo! And you can find them in Blacksburg, Virginia. All that coming up next, Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Right? The Hokies clinched the ACC regular season. Pretty impressive, man.
They're celebrating at PK's, Pack. Get some wing bites for the Hokies. Number two in the country. I mean, this is a legitimate national championship contender. You see the record in the ACC, 21-2. That's freakish stuff from Pete DeMore and company. And it's not just Keely Rochard. You know, she had to be Atlas last year for this Hokies team. They got Emma Lemley now, freshman phenom, diaper dandy. In softball, if you don't watch the sport that much, folks, you really only need two. If you've got two aces, which I understand is a little bit of an oxymoron, two aces, but that's what Virginia Tech has in Rochard and Lemley. The bats are hot. I think that was a question before the year and at different times of the season. But you see, they're putting balls out of the yard. And this Virginia Tech team wearing all black, they are dangerous.
No doubt. And you know what? They're not the only one in this conference that can get to Oklahoma City. Here are the standings as we speak. And I think you'd probably go five deep here when you start talking about top 20 teams.
Yep.
Virginia Tech, Duke, Florida State, Notre Dame, Clemson, and probably draw the line right there. No disrespect to anybody else, Virginia, Louisville. But the ACC tournament will be a blast. Ooh. We kind of saw this last year when we had the expectations of Clemson and Florida State didn't see each other in the regular season. We'll see them in the tournament. Well, we didn't get that, and Duke ended up winning the conference. But those are some teams right there at the top who are absolute threats to get to Oklahoma City.
And how about Clemson, Pack, barely above 500 in the league, but I don't think anyone's sleeping on them after they were the ACC regular season champs last year and their first year as a program. What Coach Rittman has done with the Tigers is phenomenal. And like we talked about with Tech, they've got a couple of superstars. Clemson does as well. I mean, Valerie Cagle is as good as anyone in the country going both ways. So they're a threat to win the ACC tournament, and they're a threat to get to OKC as well. I keep going back to what Amanda Scarborough said preseason. She sees that potentially three teams from the ACC could make it to OKC, which 5 years ago would have sounded crazy. But this league, like it is in every other spring sport, is now a powerhouse in softball.
No doubt. I don't think it's a reach to think that three could get there. But again, congratulations to Virginia Tech, the ACC regular season champs. All beautiful stuff. And when we return, we're going to take your phone calls. 844-SAY-ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. Plus, we'll give you a little best and worst of the weekend. All that stuff's coming up. It's a busy, busy show. Got Drew Carter. He's filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.